Revelation chapter 14, we want to pick up in our study at verse 13. I want to begin reading in the New King James Version at verse 13 of chapter 14. Read through the end of the chapter. Hopefully we'll get through this chapter tonight in our study. Revelation 14, beginning in verse 13. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, "Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them." And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, "Thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." So he who sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Then another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, who had power over fire. And he cried with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, "Thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the cluster of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe." So the angel thrust his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trampled outside the city, and blood came out of the winepress up to the horses' bridles for 1,600 furlongs. Revelation chapter 14, picking up at verse 13 in our comments. Verse 13, we're not going to go back in the context and speak about what we did last Wednesday evening for the sake of time. We want to move rapidly on, but verse 13 is in connection with what was stated in verse 12, and we might say what was stated in the whole chapter. Of course, it is connected to the remaining portion of the chapter as well. But note, it says, "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me," of course, the voice is unidentified, but the voice is speaking to John. "I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write." And of course, he has been commanded to write on several occasions throughout the book of Revelation. "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord." Blessed. Favored or highly favored is what that word means. Sometimes you'll see it defined as happy. Well, happy perhaps only because they're highly favored by God. They're highly favored by God because they're in the Lord. They're in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So God highly favors them being in that relationship. "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on." Now why would he say that? Because the possibility of death was mentioned in the previous context. In verse 12, Revelation 14, "Here is the patience of the saints." Remember, "here" means this calls for, or what's needed in this situation. What situation? The situation that was just described in the fall of the city of Babylon, the fall of the city of Jerusalem. So, in connection with the Roman-Jewish wars and the destruction of the city of Jerusalem, and we saw this mentioned back in chapter 13 in verse 10 as well. So here is the patience. That is, this calls for, or this is what is needed. Patience is needed. Perseverance is needed. Steadfastness is needed. That's what's needed on this occasion. Why? Because they're subject to losing their life. That's why they must be steadfast. That's why they must persevere. That's why they must endure. So, right. Revelation 14 and verse 13, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord." Note this, "from now on." From now on means from this time or henceforth. Well, why couldn't he say, "Blessed are those who die in the Lord now," instead of "from now on" or "from this time"? Now, have we read about those who are dead in times past who died because of the testimony of the Lord? They died because they were faithful to God. We have, back in chapter 6. Back in chapter 6 and in verse 9. "When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth, that is, upon the land? Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should, note this, rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were completed. So those who would be killed would also rest with these who are underneath the altar. That's what's under consideration here. Revelation 14 and verse 13. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on, or from this time, or henceforth. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. What works? Their works of faithfulness to God to the point of giving their life. And so that's what that has connection to in the context of the book of Revelation itself. Chapter 14 and verse 14 now. Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and on a cloud sat one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man. Now, there's no definite article before the word man here. The thee is not in the text. It's rendered that way in the King James and the New King James. But most versions say a man, because that's what the Greek text says. One like a Son of Man. We saw the exact same phrase, again, without the definite article before man, back in chapter 1 and verse 13. Chapter 1 and verse 13. In the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. In that context of chapter 1 and verse 13, the one who was under consideration spoke, and he said that he was alive, but had been dead, but now is alive forevermore. He identifies himself as the Lord Jesus Christ. So the one like a Son of Man, in our context here, in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 14, is the Lord Jesus Christ under consideration. Now there are some arguments that can be made that one like a Son of Man has reference to an angel, but I believe the greatest evidence points to the fact that it is Jesus Christ who would come in judgment on apostate Israel in the city of Jerusalem. So then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like a Son of Man. We see this from the very beginning of the book of Revelation. We talked about coming in clouds and judgment quite a bit earlier in our study of the book of Revelation. But when you go all the way back to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, and they also who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth, that is, all the tribes of the land, will mourn because of him. So who is this coming on the cloud? Well, here we have the Lord Jesus Christ coming on the cloud. So then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like the Son of Man. So in chapter 1 and verse 7 it said he was coming. Now he's coming. Coming in regard to Babylon falling, back in the context. Babylon is fallen. Verse 8 of Revelation 14. So here in Revelation 14 and verse 14, Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and on the cloud sat one like a Son of Man. Know this, having on his head a golden crown. The word crown here is the Stephanos. It's a victor's crown, but it is golden, indicating that it is an emblem or symbol of royal dignity. Not just victory, but royal dignity, as if a king would wear it. So he has on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. We understand what a sickle is, also referred to as a pruning hook, a hooked vine knife, such as reapers and vine dressers would use. We've seen some large sickles, perhaps, one standing holding the handle that has a long handle on it that they might use to reap grain with. And so that's what's under consideration. So the one on the cloud, like the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has a golden crown on his head, a crown of dignity and victory, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Verse 15, Revelation 14. And another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice. Another angel is in connection with the three previous angels that were mentioned earlier in the context. And another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud. So he came out of the temple. He came out from the presence of God. God evidently had given him a message to give to the Lord Jesus Christ. So this angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud. And I don't know about your version that you're reading from or not, but the pronoun here, just as it was in verse 14, is capitalized, which indicates that those who printed this version of the Bible that I'm using believe that the one under consideration was deity, the Son of God. That doesn't make it so, but it's good evidence that the publisher of that Bible thought it was anyway. And so another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, "Thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." So out of the temple, that is from the presence of God, "For the time has come." Now we saw this earlier. The word time here is the same word translated hour in the context back in verse 7. "For the time has come." That is, the hour of God's judgment has come. Revelation 14 in verse 7. "Saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth and the sea and the springs of water." And what happens in verse 8? Babylon is fallen, Babylon is falling. So we see the same hour, the same time is under consideration. Now we said a great deal about that word hour and time last week. But if you were not here, just let me mention a couple of things about it. Remember that hour or that time was a specific time. As a matter of fact, the word hour itself has reference to a particular or specific period in time. In Revelation 9 and in verse 15, Revelation 9 and in verse 15, "So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind." See how specific the time gets? The hour, the day, the month, and the year. Revelation 11 and verse 13, "In the same hour there was a great earthquake and the tenth of the city fell." Revelation 18 in verse 10, "Standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty sickle city, for in 1 hour your judgment is come." Now remember that time in regard to the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. Jesus said in Matthew 26 and verse 36, "But of that day and hour," note the specific time period, "no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." And so in Matthew 24 and in verse 44, "Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." So Jesus himself did not even know the specific time when this was going to take place. So what do we have here? Revelation 14 and in verse 14, the Lord Jesus Christ is on the cloud coming in judgment with a sickle in his hand about to reap. And verse 15, an angel comes out of the temple of God, comes from the presence of God, and tells him it's time. Why did he need to tell him it was time? Because he didn't know when the time was. But he's told from the throne room of God that it's time now. Revelation 14 and verse 15, another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, "Thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." The harvest of the earth is ripe. The word earth there means the land. The harvest of the land is ripe. Ripe means to become dry, to be dried up, as when wheat is dried up and ready for harvest. Now this is the first of two reapings or gatherings. We'll see the word gathering later on in verse 17 and following. Though they're two different words in the Greek, they're synonyms. To reap is together. Together is to reap. And so this is the first of two reapings or gathering in the context. The second is in verse 17 through 19. This reaping or gathering is in verse 14 through 16. So the first reaping is a reaping, let me suggest to you, is a reaping of preservation. The second reaping is a reaping of destruction. Now we've seen this picture of preservation and destruction before. Remember, I've told you that we simply see snapshots. We see a picture here, and later on we'll see the picture again, but presented in a different way. Now, can anyone suggest to us when it was that we've seen a picture of preservation and a picture of destruction, where they're put together? What about chapter 11 and verse 1? Chapter 11 and verse 1. Be reminded, chapter 11 and verse 1. Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood saying, Rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. Remember, he was told to rise and measure the temple of God. He's measuring the church for preservation. Verse 2, Revelation 11. But leave out the court which is outside the temple and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. They will tread or trample the holy city underfoot for 42 months. Now we're going to see the trampling of grapes later on in this context. Do you not see the picture? It's the same picture. He was told to rise and measure the church. It's for their preservation, for their safety. Later on in chapter 11 and in verse 2, he was told not to measure the court outside the temple. Remember, outside the temple in verse 1 was the church. Outside the temple are those who are outside the church. Apostate Israel and anyone else not a member of the church. In the land of Israel, they would be destroyed. They would be trampled underfoot. The holy city would, the city of Jerusalem. It's the only city that we know as being the holy city. It's the only city it could be. So this reaping for preservation mentioned in chapter 11. But it's also comparable to the sealing of God's people after the opening of the seventh seal, or the sixth seal in chapter 7. Remember, in chapter 7 we saw two groups of people. The first part of chapter 7 we saw the 144,000. What did we see in chapter 14 and verse 1 and following? The 144,000. But in the second part of chapter 7 we saw another group of people. Chapter 7 and verse 9. After these I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, people, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, Who are these arrayed in white robes? Note this, and where did they come from? And I said to him, Sir, you know. So he said to me, These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. So they came out of the great tribulation. The great tribulation, of course, Jesus spoke about in Matthew chapter 24. So they came out of that. So here in chapter 14, and in verse 14 and following, we have the reaping of these people. They're not dead, they're alive. They're reaped for their preservation. They're reaped for their safety during the time of the Roman and Jewish wars. Verse 16, Revelation 14. So he who sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, that is upon the land, that is upon the land of Israel, and the earth, that is the land, and it's understood as the people of the land, was reaped. Now remember Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 24 and in verse 30. Here's the picture of this. Matthew 24 and in verse 30. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. Note this. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. Where did we read that? Back in Revelation 1 and verse 7. All the tribes of the earth, all the tribes of the land. Tribes have reference to the tribes of Israel. All the tribes of the land will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Matthew 24 and in verse 30 and 31. So this is that gathering, this is that preserving of his people during the time of the Roman and Jewish wars and the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. I know that's what's under consideration because Matthew 24 and verse 34 says, assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all of these things take place. So that gathering in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 30 took place in the first century during the Roman and Jewish wars. So we have a reaping here. The Lord reaps from the land of Israel. During the Roman and Jewish wars, where were the Roman and Jewish wars? Where did they take place at? They take place in Asia, Asia Minor? No. They took place in the land of Israel. Of course, Jews were killed wherever they could be found. But that's where the wars, Roman and Jewish wars, were fought. And so, that's where God's people were reaped from. They weren't dead. They're very much alive. Just like the measuring of the temple or the church in chapter 11 and verse 1. Verse 17. Revelation 14 and verse 17. Then another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven. He also having a sharp sickle. Verse 18, and another angel came out from the altar who had power over fire. And he cried with a loud cry to him who had a sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. So in verse 15 through verse 16, we had a reaping for preservation. The Lord Jesus Christ gathered his own people for safety and security. But here, it's a reaping of destruction, we'll see by the end of the text. A reaping of destruction. Verse 18 again, Revelation 14 and verse 18, another angel came out from the altar. Came out from the altar who had power over fire. And he also had a sharp sickle in his hand. The ideal of judgment is often part of the harvest metaphor in the Old Testament. Oftentimes, the metaphor of harvesting and reaping was used in regard to judgment. And so it is here. For example, in Jeremiah 51 and verse 33. Jeremiah 51 and verse 33. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor when it is time to thresh her. Yet a little while and the time of her harvest will come. Talking about the destruction of Babylon and speaking of it as being a harvest. It was a judgment harvest. Well, what about the city of Jerusalem? Well, Lamentations chapter 1 and verse 15. Lamentations chapter 1 and verse 15. The Lord has trampled underfoot all my mighty men in my midst. He has called an assembly against me to crush my young men. The Lord trampled as in a winepress the virgin daughter of Judah. And here's something. It's perhaps it is An allusion is made to it here in our text in Revelation 14. Joel 3, beginning in verse 12. Let the nations be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. So this metaphor of harvest is often used as judgment. And that's what we have here in the book of Revelation. Figurative or symbolic language, describing a judgment of destruction and God's wrath being poured out upon apostate Israel in the city of Jerusalem. So Revelation 14 in verse 18, and another angel came out from the altar. Note where this angel comes from. We've seen two altars in our study of significance in the book of Revelation. Someone tell me where the first altar was that was mentioned. Chapter 6, Revelation 6 and in verse 9, we read earlier. When he opened the fifth seal, and I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God. That was a sacrificial altar. Their souls had been slain, giving the idea that the altar was an altar of sacrifice. People had given their lives as a sacrifice for the testimony of the Lord. Well, the second altar was the altar of incense. Remember, it's an Old Testament scene. A sacrificial altar, which was outside the temple or outside the tabernacle where the animals were slain and their blood was taken. And then the altar of incense was inside the temple or inside the tabernacle before the curtain that separated the holy place from the most holy place. So this altar of incense set before that curtain. We read of it in Revelation 8 and in verse 1 and following. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about an hour. And I saw seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar of incense. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the altar which was before the throne. Remember the prayers of the saints, those who are pleading for vengeance underneath the sacrificial altar. The prayers of those saints are going up to God in the symbol of incense. And the smoke of the incense, Revelation 8 in verse 4, the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. And then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth, that is to the land, and there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So here in our context, Revelation 14 in verse 18, another angel came out from the altar. That's the altar that he came from, the altar of incense, where the prayers of those murdered saints were crying out and ascending to God. God has heard their cry for vengeance, and what's God going to do? He's going to respond to their cry. He's going to respond to their prayer. He's going to pour out his wrath on apostate Israel, the one who killed them, and upon the city of Jerusalem. And so here, Revelation 14 in verse 18. And another angel came out from the altar who had power over fire, and he cried with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth. Christian Standard Bible, instead of the word vine, they have the word vineyard. There is a possibility it could be translated vineyard. But vine is fine. The vine of the earth is the vine or the vineyard of the land. Vine of the earth, it's the vine of the land. What land? The land of Israel. The vine itself represents Israel, represents apostate Israel. Remember Isaiah 5 and in verse 1. Isaiah 5 and in verse 1. Now let me sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in its midst and also made a wine press in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, please, between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? And now, please, let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be burned, and break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will lay it waste, and it shall not be pruned or dug, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain on it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant plant. He looked for justice, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry for help. So Isaiah tells us that this vine is Israel. Jeremiah 2 and in verse 21, God speaking through the prophet Jeremiah said, "Yet I planted you a noble vine, a seed of highest quality. How then have you turned before me into the degenerate plant of an alien vine?" So here in Revelation 14 and in verse 18, when the angel cries out to the other angel with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, "Thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the land." The vine of the land or the vine of the earth is apostate Israel. Just as apostate Israel was referred to as a vine in Isaiah's day and Jeremiah's day, so it is in the first century as well. "For her grapes are fully ripe." Fully ripe. The word ripe here is a different word than the word ripe in regard to the previous harvest. The previous harvest, the word ripe meant to dry out or become dry, as if grain is being gathered. But here the word fully ripe means that these grapes are mature. They're perfect. They're perfect for reaping, for harvesting. Their time has come. Revelation 14 and in verse 19. "So the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God." So the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth. Into the earth is better understood as into the land. What land? The land of Israel. "And he gathered the vine of the earth." He gathered apostate Israel. Remember, this is a reaping or a gathering for destruction. The previous reaping was a gathering or reaping for preservation. But this is a gathering or reaping for destruction. So he gathered the vine of the earth, that is the vine of the land, apostate Israel, and he threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. Now, literally, no, but it's figurative and symbolic language describing the judgment that God brought, directed by the Lord Jesus Christ upon apostate Israel in the city of Jerusalem. Now, go back, if you will, with me to... let me go on. If I have time, I'll come to it, because we're almost running out of time. Let's look at verse 20. Revelation 14 and verse 20. "And the winepress was trampled outside the city, and blood came out of the winepress, up to the horses' bridles for 1,600 furlongs." The city. What city? Well, there was a city in our context in verse 8. Babylon, Babylon is fallen, the great city. But Revelation 11 and verse 8, we know what great city is under consideration. It's the city in which our Lord was crucified, Revelation 11 and verse 8. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Here in chapter 14, it's symbolically or figuratively called Babylon. The same city is still under consideration. Revelation 14 and verse 8, another angel followed saying, Babylon is fallen. Again, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And so the wine press was trampled outside the city. Why outside the city? Anybody? Because our Lord was crucified outside the city. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 32. When the Roman soldiers are leading Jesus out of the city of Jerusalem to crucify him, Matthew 27 verse 32. Now as they came out, they found the man of Cyrene, Simon by name, him they compelled to bear his cross. Now as they came out of the city of Jerusalem, headed to the hill of the skull. But also note this in Hebrews 13 and in verse 11. Hebrews 13 and in verse 11. You might want to pencil this in. Hebrews 13 and verse 11. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, note this, are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Why? For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Let us go forth to him outside the camp. Remember why the book of Hebrews was written? The book of Hebrews was written because people were abandoning Christ and Christianity and going back to the law of Moses as a means of justification. They were going back to the old city of Jerusalem. And so the Hebrew writer says, therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp. Let us go out of Jerusalem. Salvation is not in this old city of Jerusalem. It's not in the old law of keeping the old law of Moses. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. We seek the heavenly Jerusalem. Old Jerusalem was not going to continue. Christ died outside the camp. So, Revelation 14 and verse 20, the wine press was trampled outside the city, and blood came out of the wine press up to the horses' bridles for 1,600 furlongs. It's symbolic language to describe the immense amount of blood that was shed during the Roman and Jewish wars and destruction of the city of Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, Josephus, the Jewish historian, wrote in his Book of Wars regarding the Jews in Book 6, Chapter 8, and Paragraph 5, but they ran everyone through whom they met. That is, they ran them through with the sword. The Romans ran the Jews through with the sword. And obstructed the very lanes with their dead bodies and made the whole city run down with blood to such a degree, indeed, that the fire of many of the houses was quenched with these men's blood. Now, literally, fires were put out by the blood of men? No, but it was his way of saying there was so much blood shed in the destruction of the city of Jerusalem that fire could have been quenched by it. And that's the picture we have here. Now, there were some other things I wanted to bring in this context. Questions or comments? We're out of time this evening. Thank you very much for your kind attention then. We'll